Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
They tell me, and I don't know what the town was, but there was about 350 years ago, a shipload of travelers that landed somewhere on the northeast coast of America. Not sure which settlement it was, but the first year they established a town site. The second year they established a town government. The third year, the town government decided that they wanted to build a road 5 miles to the west, of course, away from the ocean, 5 miles out into the west. The fourth year came along, and the people of the town decided that they wanted to impeach the government for wanting to build a road 5 miles out into the countryside, out into the west, and they couldn't understand why in the world they would ever need a road 5 miles out into the west. Of course, it's rather amazing that here was this group of colonists, whoever they were, that could travel from Europe and from that side of the world. They could have the vision to cross thousands of miles of ocean and come to America, see the vision for that of 3,000 miles, but they couldn't see the vision of 5 miles out to the west beside them. Of course, it's absolutely astounding today to think of roads all the way across the country, multiple roads, busy roads, many roads, huge roads. They lacked that vision. They lost that pioneering spirit. Without a clear vision of what we can become in Christ, we struggle. But when we get a clear vision of what we can become in Christ, there's no ocean of difficulty that is too great. But without it, we barely move beyond our current boundaries. In Coon Rapids Baptist Church, it's time for our church to have a vision of the future. We need to have a vision of what God wants us to do. The time has come for us to catch that vision of what we are doing and where we are going as a church so that we can, by God's grace, do something and see something accomplished in the lives of people who gather here each week and see something accomplished in the community that surrounds Coon Rapids Baptist Church. Now, I want to tell you this morning that this message is going to be far different than what I normally preach. Normally, I go through a passage of Scripture, and it's just we're looking at the text. We're not going to be doing that quite so much this morning. I want you to know that what I'm going to say is thoroughly saturated in Scripture, and I'm going to reference some Scripture. Tonight in the service, I'm going to be giving you the biblical framework for why we as a church should have a vision for the future. But this morning, I'm telling you what that vision is. I want you to see how important it is in having vision and advancing the work of God. And today, as we look at this vision, I want you to be able to experience some parts of this vision. The word vision means that you can see it. I want you to be able to see some of it. There's an article there in your bulletin on the front cover of it. I hope you not read it now. But it's a newspaper article from 6 years in advance. I'm not predicting the future. I'm trying, I guess. My son noted that I predicted the weather there as well. We'll see if that comes to be. But really, it's a picture. I want you to be able to get a picture, have a vision and an understanding of what we want our church to look like in a few years. And as we look at the vision of the future of our church, I want you to be able to see it with your mind. You know, I want you to be able to feel what it'd be like to be at this church. I want you to be able to see what the individual people are like that gather there. I want you to be able to watch the services, you know? What it would be like if you were to live stream that service and be able to sit in and watch it takes place. I want you to be able to live stream it right now and see what those services will be like. I want you to be able to see the impact that this church is having upon the community around it. I want you to be able to open the hood on this church, as it were, and be able to see the engine underneath of it. What's powering it? What's moving it? What's making it to be the church that it is? All of this is wrapped up in the vision of our church for the future. I want you to see it in your mind. I want you to feel it in your heart. And my prayer is that God the Holy Spirit would excite you with what He wants to do in this very place. What He wants to do through your life, through my life, through other people's lives here in this place. And as we see this vision and as we walk through this vision of the future, I want you to be ready for it. I'm telling you in advance, I am going to challenge you to commit to making that vision become a reality. I'm going to challenge you to 5 specific steps for 2018 that you need to do to help this vision go forward and God's vision for this church to become a reality. I want you to understand that the vision for our church can be summarized in really five incredible views, beautiful views. These views could be described as passions, really. They're values. Some describe them as core values. And I want to say without any hesitation this morning at all that these five incredible views, these passions, these values are God's vision for our church. Now you say, Pastor, that's a pretty bold statement. I'm saying that not because I had too much pizza last night and God communicated and showed up and gave me a vision. I don't mean that at all. What I'm saying is that we have searched the scriptures and we've looked at the scriptures and these five values are thoroughly based upon God's word and what God wants for local New Testament churches. And so what we want for our church for the future is simply what God wants for our church for the future. And we're passionate and we're excited about this. And so I'm challenging you with this simple phrase this morning. No, there's no note sheet for you to follow. You'll have to just listen along this morning. And I'm challenging you with this. Catch the vision and commit to making it happen. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to look at what your word has to say about the future of our church. And Spirit of God, I do pray that you'd help me to properly communicate this morning and help all of us to be able to picture it, to feel it, to understand it, to see where you want us to go in the future. And then, Lord, I pray that you would put it lovingly and graciously within our hearts. Stretch us and make us willing to step out even perhaps out of our comfort zone to see this accomplished here in this church, in these dear people, so that we can reach more people in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are five parts of the vision that I want you to see here. The first one that I want you to see that we believe in a Christ that means something. I'll not have you turn there for sake of time, but several passages of scripture, one you have in front of you on the screen, it says, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peter says it later in the same book, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7, he says this, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. The vision that we have for the future of Coon Rapids Baptist Church is a place where Christ means something to people. In your mind's eye, I want you to step with me into a church where their Christianity means something because they believe in a Christ that means something. I want you to step into this church, and as you do so, you're going to see that this church isn't just, they're not going through the empty motions. It's not just a religion to them. It's not just tradition to them. It's not just an empty routine to them. It's not just something that they do every week, week in and week out. And those people over there are religious and they do their thing and they're religious over there and we're religious over here and we do our empty ritual either. But instead, as we step into the church here that we're anticipating, we're stepping into something that's energized, that's refreshed. We're stepping into something that the people are serving the Lord and they're always abounding in the work of the Lord. And as we walk amongst the people and as we notice them, we see that they just constantly seem to have this energy and this enthusiasm about them. Maybe they may be tired physically, they may be busy in their lives, but there's something in them that just gives them juice to go forward and serve God. There's gas in their tank, there's this energy to serve God. They're motivated by something, and what they're motivated is because they've been in the book, they've been with Christ, and they've seen all of the wonderful things that Christ has done for them, and He means something to them, and they want to serve God with their lives. As we walk around and continue to notice this church, we shake hands with some people. As we shake hands with people and talk to them and look them in the eyes and notice some things about them, we notice that these aren't religious fakes and hypocrites. These are people that are genuine. No. They're not perfect. They still have things that they're working through in their lives. But they're people that are on the way. And more you can see their lives being transformed and changed. And you kind of scratch your head and you say, there's just a glory about this place. There's just a glory about being around these people. And you know what the glory comes from? The glory comes from this, that they're being changed more and more into the image of Christ. And more the glory of God is shining in their face as they're being transformed. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Go to a church where God is at work. Where Wednesday night prayer meetings see powerful weekly answers. where people preach and teach God's word and it bears fruit in their lives, where people are growing in their discipleship and enjoying God more, where, you know what, there's some impossible things, where the church comes up to some situations that are roadblocks, that are impossibilities, but as they pray and as they plead with God and as they serve God, God breaks down those walls and opens those doors of the impossibility, and you stand there with joy in your heart and you say, I'm a part of a place where God's doing something. I'm a part of a place where God is at work. That's where I want to be. And people want to come just because God is working and doing something special and doing something great. And when you come and you're a part of this church, you come into a church with a vibrant music ministry. And this vibrant music ministry is vibrant because there's been a core of people who've been with God all week long. And we don't have to rock out the music, and we don't have to jazz out the music just to get people pumped up about Jesus. But no, they've walked with God all week. They've spent time with God all week. And when they gather together with God's people, the joy to praise God just flows from a genuine heart. And the music is soundly biblical. The music is fresh and exciting. It's enthusiastic. It's heartwarming. The congregation, as they open their voices to sing, it's a robust congregational singing and a beautiful choir and perhaps some instruments, an orchestra maybe, to play along with them as people use all their talents and all of their voices to try to praise God with their lives because they've lived it all week long in their lives. This is what can be our future. This is the kind of a church that I want to work toward. This is the kind of Christianity I want. This is the kind of Christianity that I want to be around a bunch of people where Christ matters to them, where Christ means something to them, where kids enjoy talking about Jesus Christ, where moms are so in love with Jesus Christ that they've just got to pour it into their kids, where dads care so much about Jesus Christ that it's obvious by the priorities that they place upon Jesus Christ with their lives. And listen, the first vision that we have about Coon Rapids Baptist Church is not something tangible. It's not something that you can get your hands on. It's not something that you're ever going to see quantified in a church budget or spreadsheet. It's not going to be there. It's not something that, in a sense, you can really put your finger on. It's an aura. It's a spirit. It's a graciousness. It's an attitude. It's a feeling. It's an atmosphere. Because these people have a Christ that means something to them, that motivates them in their life, that transforms them, that empowers them to go forward to serve God. And when you walk into the place, there's a snap. There's an enthusiasm. There's an excitement here that's not generated by the world, but is generated by people who love Jesus Christ and are passionate about Jesus Christ. And it's a place that people want to be. It's enthusiastic. It's energetic. It's magnetic because not of the world's things, but because Christ is energetic and enthusiastic and magnetic. See a church with a Christ that means something. Listen, I want you to understand what it's going to take to have that kind of church. What it's going to take for us is many of us are going to have to retrain our minds so that we get into the scriptures and we fall in love with Jesus Christ and we're trained to operate motivated by His love, not by guilt, not by tirades and things like that, but we've retrained ourselves to operate out of the grace of God and the goodness and love of God. It's going to take that when someone comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior, one of the great things that we do, discipleship 101 as it were, is going to be to teach people the splendors and the goodness of Jesus Christ and the great things that Christ has done for them in their lives so that right away they begin to grow and to operate and to go forward out of a love for Jesus Christ here. But what's it going to take in your life in 2018? I'm going to challenge you in this area. I'm going to challenge you to find one area of your life, not 15. Maybe you'll get to 15. That'll be great. But one area of your life that God's put His finger on and says, that needs to change. And you're going to put your all effort, your prayer time, your energies, your efforts. You're going to do all you can this year to see that one area of your life changed for the cause of Christ. Is there something at the end of 2017 that you said, you know what, that really needs to change? I could go forward for the cause of Christ if that would just change in my life. If I would just get rid of that. If I would just add this into. And maybe you thought that at the end of 2016. Maybe you thought that at the end of 2015. And it just hasn't happened. You've struggled. You've wondered, how can I make this happen? Well, this year you're going to work. You're going to do all that you can. You're going to pray. You're going to study the scriptures. You're going to determine by God's grace to see that one area change. Listen, as we think about what a true disciple, a true follower of Jesus Christ is, they are somebody that Christ means something to them. Christ is passionate. They're passionate about Him. He matters. See that we're a church that believes in a Christ that means something. But I want you to get past the aura of the church and the spirit and the atmosphere of the church. Let's take a look at the people of the church for a moment. And I want you to see number two in our vision, that we believe in a Christian that builds something. We believe in a Christian that builds something. As we look at these people here, do you know that the future of Coon Rapids Baptist Church is about building people, Christians, believers, who don't just float aimlessly through the Christian life, who don't just mooch off of Christianity and do nothing, but know they are people that we are building so that they will go out and build others as well. Our vision for the future is to build people who will build others as well. We believe in a Christian that builds something. The scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And Paul says to the people there, listen, hey, we're laboring in this and we're seeking to build, and God is working with us as well. And he says, listen, your lives are a result of God's labors and our labors in building you up. We're building. Colossians says, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We want people who are built up in Christ, built upon this book, built in their beliefs in the scripture and what the Bible has to say here. Jude verse number 20 says, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We are a church that's passionate about building other people and passionate about Christians building something. This is why our church exists, to build people. In your mind's eye, come with me to a living room. You picture a couch and you picture a chair there and you picture maybe two men sitting there. The one man is a member of Coon Rapids Baptist Church. The other man has just trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior just a short time ago. This man that's a member of Coon Rapids Baptist Church has worked hard. He's prayed for months. He's worked to develop a relationship with this man and asked God to give him opportunities to share the gospel. And as God worked in the heart of this individual, he was able to share the gospel, and God saved this man's life. But Mr. Member over here wasn't content at that. His goal wasn't just to get a man checked off that, hey, he prayed a prayer. Hey, he trusted Jesus Christ. Hey, he's now a Christian. That's not where he stopped. But instead he said, listen, I want you to come over to my house and we're going to open the scriptures and I'm going to build you. I'm going to show you what the Word of God has to say as to how you can have a strong Christian life and the things that you need in your life to make you a strong Christian, to make you a full-fledged disciple of Jesus Christ. We leave the living room now and we come over to the church building, and here's a little window, and we peek through the window. We peek through the window and we see a little bit of a classroom there, and we see some classes taking place. And the class, as we watch it there, is a class on the home. It's a class on relationships. And we find that in our society, we find in our culture today, people don't know about how to handle relationships. They don't know how to interact with each other. They don't know how to interact with people in the workplace. They don't know how to interact at home. They don't know how to interact with their children and have these relationships. They don't know how to interact many times with other Christians there in the church as well. And we see in the classroom where people are being built and strengthened in relationships. They're being built and strengthened in their homes. Come with me now as we take a quick whirlwind to several different places here. We go on a whirlwind of a journey. We observe as we kind of fly over and hover over. And here's a someone going on visitation, and they're going to visit some people and hope to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can tell that one person's experienced at it. The person beside him isn't, but they're going along to learn. We come over here and we find a youth group, and maybe we find a teenager that's leading in prayer. It's a new experience there for that teenager, but it's an awesome thing, and it's growing him in his walk. We sneak over there and we look into children's church and we see someone new teaching in children's church, and we come over here and we see someone new involved in this, and we come over here and we see some training to train somebody else in this area, and we find that this is a church that builds something. It builds people. It builds leaders. And it gives people opportunity to grow and to get involved, and gives them some training and gives them some experience. And you know what? Mistakes are going to happen. And it isn't always going to be perfect, and it isn't always going to be pretty, but people are going to get the opportunity to try their hand at serving God in this area, and try their hand at serving God in this area, and work over here in this area as well. Because we're building leaders. We're giving other people the opportunity to grow. We're giving other people the opportunity to have experiences that will grow them in their walk with Christ. We come around the corner and we peek in on the children's ministries. We see that the children's ministries and the youth group are a place where unsaved kids come and they hear the gospel of Christ. And they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and teachers and kids' ministries of all sorts and youth ministries here are instilling in them what the Word of God has to say. They're learning Christian songs. They're learning Christian character. They're learning memorizing Bible verses here. They're making great friends. Yes, they're having fun, but it's about so much more than having fun. Their character is being developed. They're being built and grown, and we're cultivating in them even more so a passion to build other people with their lives, to serve other people with their lives. We're challenging young people to give their lives to Christ however He wants. It's the greatest life. It's the best life to serve God with Christ, or serve God with the life that Christ wants us to live. Here is a young lady who grows up in the home, in some home in Coon Rapids Baptist Church. She's a sweet and godly young lady. She wants to do something eternal with her life. She goes to college and she majors in English so that she can go to a foreign field to minister the gospel to people teaching English as a second language. Because in the youth ministries here, they were building her up and they were challenging her to serve God with her lives from the time that she was in children's ministries through youth ministries. And now she's launched forward from Coon Rapids Baptist Church to go and serve God with her life. Coon Rapids Church is going to be a place that's about building people. Where I work to build you, and you work to build others. And we're not going to be content to let you come to Coon Rapids Baptist Church and not be involved in building other people. Because the Bible teaches that if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to be doing something to build somebody up in their walk. Don't consider yourself to have Christianity as full and as developed as it ought to be if you're not doing something to build somebody else up in their walk with Jesus Christ. We're going to be a Christianity that builds other people. And I'm going to make you this second challenge. Here it is. I'm going to challenge you that you're involved in a ministry once a week. Somehow this year, you're going to be involved in doing something every week in the church. You're going to be involved in doing something. It may be teaching. It may be sweeping the sidewalks. It may be something else, and I'm not going to take the time to elaborate on it. But if we're going to be a place that's going to build other people, we're going to have to be a people who sees ourselves as, I'm involved. When I sit around the Sunday school table, I'm coming to Sunday school so that I can build those other people and encourage those other people and develop them in their walk with God. It's a two-edged sword. We want to build people, and we want to challenge other people to build others well as well. Let's believe in a Christian that builds something. Let's take a third vision. We've felt a little bit of the aura of the church. We've looked at the individual people of the church. But now let's take a look at what happens when all those people get together. What is it like when all of these different believers here that are so passionate about Christ, when all these different ones that love to build other people up, what is it like when they all gather together? What is it like when the church meets? Number three, we believe in a church that gathers for something. They gather for a purpose. They gather for a specific reason. And listen, as we walk on this campus and we meet this assembly of God's people who come and gather together, I want you to know that this assembly loves to be together. They just love to be together. Man, they love to come to church, and they love to shake hands with people. Not because the pastor makes them shake hands every time after the second song, But because, hey, these are their brothers and sisters in Christ. This is their church. They love to be with these people. They love to hear the preaching together, and they love to serve in ministries together. And man, when church is over here, they love to just stay and mingle and mingle. And after a while, the pastor has to kick them out so he can finally go home, because they just love to mingle and they enjoy it. They love to be in each other's homes. They love to spend time with each other. They just love to be around each other. And because they love to be around each other, that encourages them to be here week in and week out, because they love God's people. And they gather here on purpose. They have a reason for coming. They don't come because it's just tradition to come every Sunday or Wednesday or whatever service you want to talk about. But they come because they believe in the purposes of the church. Acts 2:42 talks about the early church. It gives four purposes that describe the four purposes of our church services. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. The church of the future of Coon Rapids Baptist Church is a church that gathers for these purposes. They're a church that gathers for this doctrine, for this teaching and preaching that they're going to get in a morning service of inspiring worship, where they gather together to worship God and to hear God's word explained and taught and preached from the pulpit. They gather to pray together and worship to God and praise and worship to God and to give together and to serve together in worship to God. Worship isn't 15 minutes of singing. Worship isn't just one service a week, but it's something where they're geared up and then challenged to go and serve God in worship as well. This is a people who believes in a small group ministry where they sit around the table on Sundays, and part of the reason that they come isn't just to hear the Bible again, though that's important, but they sit around the table because they want to invest in that person, and they want to hear that person's prayer requests, and they want to be able to share a scriptural comment in the discussion time that maybe can edify that person there. There's some accountability there. There's some zeal for them to win souls to Jesus Christ and to bring them and invite them to come to the small group study each and every Sunday morning in Sunday school. Here are people who come again many times for Sunday night service because they want to have some more practical preaching that'll disciple them and grow them in their life. Being out in the work week all there, they're beat up by the world and pushed around by the devil and persecuted by the lost world around them. And come midweek portion of the week, they just want to hear from God again. They just want to hang out with their family. They work and claw and fight their way to get there on Wednesday nights because they want to be there with God's family. They want to hear some preaching. They want to sing. They want to be with their family again. But also because, in spite of all the vision, in spite of all the programs that this growing church is trying to put in place, besides all of the beautiful campus that they may seek to have, they understand in their core that this book teaches that no work of God is going to go forward unless somebody prays. Unless a church gets together, there's something special about two or three people gathering together in my name. And there's something then that these people say in their heart, listen, I'm going to go to church on Wednesday night because I believe in prayer. I believe we can accomplish it on our own. I believe that I can't get anything done for the cause of Christ unless God does the work. And therefore, I'm going to come and I'm going to make it a priority and I'm going to make it an emphasis of my life to invest in prayer time. And that's going to be the power that's going to make the difference in the church. Breaking of bread. And in prayers. The church was passionate about these things. And listen, let me tell you, when you look at the scripture, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, you have to be a disciple that's committed to God's church. That's what the scripture teaches. And listen, I'm going to give you a challenge. What is it going to take? Here's the challenge. You don't miss more than 6 Sundays this year. I'm going to challenge you to take that goal. I know you got vacations. I know that you got things that you're going to do. I know that you got places that you want to go. I know that we're all sick. I know all these different things. But by the grace of God, you're going to make a commitment that you're going to miss no more than 6 Sundays. Now listen, I was in a church somewhere in the Twin Cities, a church totally different than our church. I'm not being unkind, but it would be more of the mega church variety. And I picked up on their table out there in the lobby, was given to me off their table, a commitment sheet like I'm going to give to you. And on that mega church, do you know what it said? It challenged their people to miss no more than 2 Sundays a year. 2. Now I'm being soft on you. I'm going to challenge you. Listen, if we're going to be a church that's going to grow and we're going to be a church that's going to go forward, we're going to have people that are going to say, listen, I'm going to be there. You can't build on people that aren't there. You can't see the thing go forward if you're not there. So I'm going to challenge you in that way. Let's be a church that gathers. I'm not interested in being a church that gathers for no reason. I'm not interested in going through the routines. I'm not interested in empty traditions there. I'm interested in a church that gathers for a purpose. I come on Sunday morning, this is the purpose. I come on Sunday night, for this is the purpose. I come Wednesday night, this is the purpose that I'm trying to accomplish. We gather for a purpose. I want you to see a fourth area here. Fourth part of the vision. We see a community that needs something. This is a church that sees a community that needs something. Jesus said this, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. Right now there is a harvest." Matthew chapter number 9, verses 36 to 38, in that region there, Jesus Christ saw the condition of the people, that there were sheep scattered abroad. And listen, if we're going to be a church that believes in a community that needs something, we're going to have to be, first of all, people who see our community. We have to see people. We have to see a man by the name of Abdul and Ivan. We have to see these people moving from other countries and God bringing them to Coon Rapids. Your neighbor, your coworker. And they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior here. People like Fred or Jeff or Sam, who have lived in Coon Rapids all their lives, and they're nice people. They're your neighbors. They're good, upstanding citizens. They're the blue collar workers here, but they don't go to church anywhere. They have no real interest in God or spirituality, no connections anywhere. But they're lost without Jesus Christ. They're looking for meaning and satisfaction, really thinking that the American dream, with all that it offers, is going to give that somehow to them. We're going to have to see our community as to what God has given to us here. And we want to be a church that's making an impact in our community, where we work to try to develop relationships with people so that we can share the gospel with Jesus Christ, where our church uses wise and effective methods of trying to get the gospel out and share the gospel with people in our community here. I can picture the mayor's good friend being a member of Coon Rapids Baptist Church. I can picture one of our members being on city council and making relationships with the council members. I can picture somebody being a police officer on the local force. Another's a businessman. Somebody else over here volunteers at the library. This guy over here coaches soccer and tries to influence those families. Someone volunteers. I think it's called Snowflake Days. They're on the planning committee for that, and that intersects with those people. Someone else has coffee at Starbucks and tries to make relationships there. There are several lights in the public school that are building relationships and working there. There's one person who tries to connect with young couples through daycare ministry. There's someone else who every construction customer that they have, they share the gospel and leave just a friendly gospel invitation with them. Here's a young mom who's decided, she's a member of Coon Rapids Baptist Church, she's decided that she's going to be a part of the young moms group. It's secular, they don't know Christ, but she wants to be a part of it to try to share the light there. Here's somebody else who's got some really good ideas of how to get out into their neighborhood. Here's somebody else who wants to fund a literature program to get literature out into the streets of our city. Here's somebody else who loves to go door to door and do some surveys and get the gospel and see out to people and see if anybody would like to do an evangelistic Bible study. Here's somebody else who wants to have a nursing home ministry and try to connect with people who are on the last stages of their life and share the gospel with the workers. And as people pass away, maybe to even connect with the family members and be able to reach out to them and share the gospel with them. Here's somebody else who has a ministry to the military in the area, and around and here and there and all these different places, they're impacting the community. I can picture a man who comes to the United States from Iran. Whatever it is brings him to Iran, and he moves in next to you. And you work hard to develop a relationship with this person. And of course, you come from different worlds. You come from different religious backgrounds as well. And so there's some limits to it, but you work to develop that relationship. And over a period maybe of years even, finally, some tragedy comes and this person is interested in hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. comes to know Christ as Savior, you're able to do Bible studies with him and grow him into in Christ's likeness, into being a disciple that wants to serve God with his life. And this man now all of a sudden has a burden in his heart. But what about all my people back there in my home country? And he's trained, and he's grown, and he's developed, and finally he goes back as a missionary sent out from Coon Rapids Baptist Church to go back and to reach the people of his own country. And it started here with a member of Coon Rapids Baptist Church that reached out to his neighbor. What if our goal in the next 17 years would be to impact 600 people in this community? It would only be 1/100th of our town. It's not our goal to be a mega church. We're interested in impacting lives. We're interested in building disciples. We're interested in seeing one person come to know Christ, that person built in all of the things it takes to be a disciple, and then that person going leading someone else to Christ, and the process starting over and over and over again. We're interested in preparing laborers and training people to go and share the gospel with a community that needs something. We're interested in the future even, and as God leads and as people come, maybe then starting another work in the area that can go forward, another church that can go forward and advance the cause of Christ. Let's dream. Let's catch a vision for what God does. And let me just share one other thing, a wild, harebrained idea with you. I went around with a couple different individuals, couple different circumstances, and saw some of these light-o-ramas that are popular, aren't they? Light-o-ramas are these Christmas light shows where you drive in and they have the music playing and the lights flash to the beat of the music or whatever. They're pretty impressive, aren't they? How many of you have seen them? Several of you? Okay. They're the latest in music. And it's just an amazing thing to watch, and sometimes it's one house, sometimes it's a whole block of houses. But I'm just purely having fun with you on this one, all right? The rest is pretty significant vision. But let's have fun with it. What if Coon Rapids Baptist Church had one of those? What if we put up the lights around the parsonage and back around there towards the gym and back up beside the school and up around here by our neighbor's house and up through here? And what if cars pulled in the parking lot here and they saw all the lights in front of the parsonage and they drove down through here and around and back by the gym and pulled back up through here and all the way through, and they went back out outside in a very nice, simple traffic pattern? And what if, as they saw those lights, it wasn't secular and it wasn't Santa Claus, but what if it was about Jesus Christ? And what if the songs that were played were not rocking around the Christmas tree, but were Christian carols here? And what if we had dubbed over the top of it the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And as people came in to see this sort of thing, they could hear little snippets and little nuggets of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe they could hear something about the manger scene. And maybe they could see something else about the kings and how the kings connect and bring the gospel to our lives. And how the shepherds were everyday guys and the significance of the gospel going to shepherds. And you know, there's lists all over the internet about these are great light displays. And people drive from all over the metro to come to those. And what if they came to our church? And what if they heard the gospel here? And what if they found out, hey, there's a church there. There's a Coon Rapids Baptist Church. And they never have to get out of their car because it's freezing cold in Minnesota. And one of those live nativities where you stand outside might be a little cold some years. What about something like that? $5,000 to $10,000. But wouldn't it be an awesome thing? Wouldn't it be a pretty out-of-the-box, unusual way of getting the gospel and getting people to come to our church and to hear all about it? And we could block off all of Hanson Boulevard with people coming to try to see a gospel light display. Let's have a vision of what God could do for the future. And as we look at a community that needs something, it should be with a capital S there, that something is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the challenge that I'm making to our church. Let's pray that God would give us 30 people in our church that'll say, you know, this year, I'm going to try to reach one person for Christ. His name is Fred. I'm going to build a relationship with Fred. I'm going to pray for Fred every day. And I'm going to be willing to tell my church family about Fred, and I'm going to ask my church family to pray for Fred too. I'm going to ask my church family in that sense to keep me accountable and encourage me in my witness to Fred and ask me how I'm doing about Fred. I'm going to challenge our church to commit, to try to build a relationship with one person in 2018 and ask God to give you fruit in that. Because, you know, when you look at the scripture, the definition of a disciple is that a disciple bears fruit. A disciple makes other disciples. And if we are not a church that believes in a community that needs something, then one of the questions we might ask is, why are we here? Let's have a vision for being a place that believes in a community that needs something. And finally, I want you to see one more thing. One more part of the church. This part of the church is, in a sense, coming over and open the hood and trying to figure out what makes this thing function. What's the power underneath it? What's the nuclear reactor? What's the power plant behind this thing? What drives it? What is the energy? And as we come over here and as we begin to kind of pull this part out and see it, oh, wow, we've seen the spirit of the church there, that aura of it. Boy, that was kind of exciting. We saw the people of it and that they build others, and we saw what it's like when they all gather and what the church services are like. We kind of watched some of those things take place. We saw the impact that they can have on the community. And now we come over here to see this last thing and we pull back the curtain there to look at it. We open the hood and honestly, it kind of shocks us. Oh, well, this over here has been so fun and exciting here. This is a little scary. This isn't so appetizing over here. This isn't as much fun as this and this and this and this over here. As we look at the future, we look at that and we say, that's part of the future of our church. Because we believe in a cause that costs something. We look and we see sacrifice. What is it that can see this church accomplish so much? It's because people have sacrificed, because it's cost them something, because it's been a challenge to them. Over and over, Jesus teaches this principle. Luke 9 and verse number 23, He said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Each and every day of your life, you're going to have to take up the cross, that thing that crucifies your own life. Each and every day, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you. The next verse, verse 24, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life and say, 'God, you can have the whole thing,' is what he's saying there. The same will really save it." You look at it and you say, "Oh no, no, that's scary. I don't want to make that sacrifice. That's going to cost me so much. And I wanted to do this and I wanted to do this and I wanted to go here and I wanted to be involved in all these things. And God, I'm not letting go of all that." God says, if you'll just sacrifice, if you'll just lose it, you'll find that you'll gain far, far more. He says in Luke 14:33, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Don't call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ if you're not willing to make the sacrifice to forsake it all. You see, to these people at Coon Rapids Baptist Church, the American dream does not mean luxury, and it does not mean hobby. It means the provision of God to advance His work, the funding given by God to a rich Christian people to advance His work locally and around the world. The free time that Americans enjoy does not mean idle time, but investment in the Lord's work. I see a place where men know the sacrifice of time and hours to serve God. I see a place where retirees, as they already do, form a powerful army in God's service. I see a place where youth are taught in the various children's and youth ministries to forsake their own ambitions, to give and invest themselves in the greatest cause. I see a church where there's no debate about tithing 10%, because that's just the beginning of the financial sacrifice that these people make. And Christ made it clear that you cannot be a disciple unless it costs you dearly. And therefore, in 2018, I am calling you to make that sacrifice in a twofold way. This is the only one that has two parts. For our church to go forward, for our church to continue to go forward, there must be sacrifice. And I'm going to challenge you, first of all, in the area of financially. I don't know what your finances are. I don't want to. I don't know what people give here. But I'm going to challenge you to pray about a financial sacrifice for God's work here this year, at whatever level you think is a sacrifice. I'm told that churches that are growing spend 10% of their budget on outreach every year. We spend 2%. There's challenges financially. It costs money to reach our community with Christ. It costs money to serve God with our lives. You've given generously. God's met our needs. But you know what? It may cost us. I'm going to challenge you to consider that. But I'm going to challenge you with another sacrifice. And in some senses, to me, this is even more important. I'm going to challenge you with Sweet 16. Sweet 16 for this year is this. I want to challenge you to commit to 16 hours this year. 16 hours of helping to make our property look good. 4 hours each quarter, if you want to divide it up and make it easy for you. 4 times 4 is 16. That might be painting. Might be pulling weeds. It might be washing windows. It might be raking leaves. It might be sitting on the lawnmower. It might be coming out and cleaning out this part of the building or helping out with this major project here. But I'm going to challenge you in your heart and in your life to say, you know what? I'm going to spend 16 hours this next year trying to keep this campus looking sharp so that people will want to come, so that the weeds are not overgrowing the landscaping, so that the lawn is not knee high, so that the buildings are not in disrepair, so that the light bulbs get replaced, and all of these different things. Listen, I'm going to challenge you to make that commitment, the Sweet 16 this year, because it's a sacrifice. Listen, this is Minneapolis. This is the Twin Cities. Everybody runs a mile a minute. You're just as busy as everybody else is, and they're just as busy as you are. It's going to take sacrifice, and my Lord said it would. Don't be surprised in it. But if this church is going to go forward, it's going to take sacrifice. As I see the future of our church, our mission I see as building people with eternal values, with those same five values that I just told you that are on the backside of your bulletin. Because that is the definition of what it means to be a disciple. And as someone comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and wants to grow in discipleship, we might be able to think of them like a little stick figure. And when they come to see that Christ means something, boy, they got the head. And when they've been built in understanding the basics of Christianity and now are building others, they've got one arm. And when they come over here and when they get involved in the local church and join, they're baptized and they join the local church, they've got the other arm. When they begin to share the gospel with friends and neighbors, boy, now their feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and they've got one foot. And when they're willing to invest in and sacrifice of their time and of their finances and their involvement in the Lord's house, they've got the other foot. And my Bible tells me that the definition of a disciple is those five things we just described. And God's definition of a disciple is having all of those. And today, if you're missing one or two, what are you like? Which one are you? This is being a disciple. And our goal as a church, our strategy will be to take someone from when they've trusted Jesus Christ and make them a full-fledged, complete person in Christ. A full-fledged disciple of Jesus Christ. And so here's the commitment. I'm going to challenge you to make one key change in your life this year. Study it. Pray it. Get accountability if you need. Number two, to be involved in one ministry each week. You're going to be involved. Number three, miss no more than 6 Sundays this year. You're going to make that determined resolution. Number four, to work to reach one person for Christ and ask the church to pray for that person. You're going to make an effort. God gives the fruit, but you're going to do your best to be His vessel. Number four, to sacrifice financially in that Sweet 16. Now, the invitation today is far different than it normally is. The invitation is simply this, that I'm going to ask a couple of our men, maybe Luke and Dakota and Titus, why don't you guys come? And I have here a very simple commitment form that I'm going to give to you. They're going to pass one out to every man, woman, and child that's here. It has the same thing on the screen that you see there. Let me tell you, this is the vision. We've worked hard. You've worked hard as a church. God's blessed us in some amazing ways. But to go forward, it's going to take us being committed to the cause. You're going to have to be involved. Listen, I'm not wrestling with you as to which one of these you ought to check. I hope you check all five. Check the ones that you believe God would have you to make. I'll commit to this. I'll commit to this. I'll commit to this. And I'll commit to this. If you want to sign it, you can put your signature on it as well. And I want to encourage you to detach it. This is one time you can tear paper in church. Tear it in half. And in just a minute, the ushers are going to come with the offering. And they're going to take your offering to the Lord of the commitment and the sacrifice that you're interested in making. I give you two copies, another one at the bottom, so that you can mark off what you put at the top and remember it, pray about it, and work on it. Be involved. Make a commitment that you're going to be a part of helping Coon Rapids Baptist Church to make their vision a reality. So in the next few moments, you pray. I'm going to ask my wife to just give us some music, and you can pray and ask God what God would have you to do to make a commitment to be involved in here. You pick the ones that you're willing to do, that you're willing to make. If you want to sign it, that's fine. If that's something that you're uncomfortable with, you can do that as well. You can leave that unsigned.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.